You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. Tonight, I have a very, very special guest with me. I have comedian Josh Prey with me. Also, I have my good co-host and friend Rossi with me over here doing this. We're going to be chatting it up, doing something a little bit different. We're going to be talking about so good that they're bad. We're talking about hilarious, overrated movies that were so good that they were bad. So let's go ahead. Let's welcome the Josh to the show, and let's do this, guys. All right.
I love the graphics. I love the introduction. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. And guys.
Thank
no problem.
You. Thank you.
I appreciate you too, Josh.
Absolutely.
So, what I want to say this though, man, like we've been geeking out behind the stage, having a few laughs and stuff. We talked about Outlander. We talked a little bit of everything. I just want to say welcome to the show. I've been following you for years and it's just an honor to be able to talk to you face to face for the very first time. And, you know, we came up with this idea this morning about movies that were so bad that they're good, right? Mm-hmm. So my childhood movie, I remember dragging my mom 7 o'clock at night. I don't know if you did the same thing or not, but 7 o'clock at night to go see Mortal Kombat with my friends. And it was all lined up between Showgirls and House Party. And coming out of the movie, this was my mom. She goes, and I can tell now as an adult, whenever she says, so, did you like that? Like the movie? I said, yeah, what about you? I loved it. She goes, yeah, it was okay. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you hated it.
Listen, man. Mortal Kombat was phenomenal, man. And to me, it aged extremely well. I feel like when it comes to video game movies, it's hard to tell a story within 2 hours because so much is happening with so many characters. But if you look at the early 90s in the graphics in the movie, come on, man. You were trying to get Scorpion to have a rope come out of his palm with platform gaming technology. Stop it. Mortal Kombat was phenomenal. Showgirls should have won an Oscar, though.
I agree.
Especially I love Showgirls.
The swimming pool scene alone could actually got a few Oscars.
The swimming pool scene. Don't talk about the chair scene when she ain't.
Oh, yeah, the chair scene too, oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh. Yep, towels. But yeah. Now, I thought Mortal Kombat was great. Now Mortal Kombat 2 probably deserves to like be brought back to life by Chucky then killed again. Mortal Kombat 2 is terrible, but Mortal Kombat 1 is a classic.
Mm-hmm. You know, I enjoy the game, you know, going to the arcade, playing Mortal Kombat, not good at it, you know, going to die, but had a good time. As far as the movie though, I don't think I was that much of a fan of the movie. I don't think it was for me. You know what I mean? I think I stopped at playing the game, but I did watch the movie because I have Mortal Kombat fans that I live with and they absolutely loved the movie. I just didn't get into it, but I appreciate the fact that, you know, playing the game, you recognize every single character, you understand what they're doing. It just didn't hit for me, but I understand the love that folks have for Mortal Kombat.
I think Mortal Kombat was one of the last movies that was strictly made for guys.
Right.
Like there was no thought for let's make Sonya Blade look this way. Let's make sure she flips this way. That movie was made for men by men to encourage men. Right. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I just think that movie had way too much testosterone in it.
Right.
It needed a little bit of estrogen. So I completely understand when you're saying it wasn't for you. I get
that. Right. Here, like, I can actually understand that though too. It's a guy movie. We love the finishing moves. We also like seeing Sonya Blade doing her finishing moves. Right. Stuff like that too, especially Kano, hitting on Sonya Blade as well. We got to see that in the movie. Everything that we loved about Mortal Kombat that was in the game was perfect for the live action adaptation for that time. And it still holds up today. Like you mentioned, Josh, like I can still shove popcorn in my face and still geek out over it, especially when you get to see Johnny Cage do a split and then hit Goro in the nuts. That makes me laugh every single time.
Yes. And when if you go back and so Rossi, if you go back and look at that movie right now, mm-hmm. the reason you know the movie was made for guys because when we fight, and John can probably attest to this, when we fight or we do stuff, we do not grunt like, yeah. Only a man trying to make other men feel manly would write grunt like,
yeah.
It was so ridiculously manly that you knew what it was for. But I understand you said it wasn't for you, for sure.
Right. Yeah. But I, you know, the husband, the my sons, you know, obviously those sounds that you're making, yes, you know, they've seen everyone, they love them. I would sit and watch with, but you know, like you said, it is a guy's thing, a guy's movie, you know, so, and I totally get that. It's okay for guys to have that thing. And that was your guys' thing was Mortal Kombat. And I remember guys geeking over that, you know, knowing that they can watch the film. And I think the film itself, you know, they did a good job as far as the graphics, making sure that everything was the same, the storyline. So that was great. Just for women like me, we're like,
It's like, how can we relate to this, right?
You couldn't.
Right.
They didn't apologize to y'all.
No.
They didn't say, we're sorry. No, they were like, okay, no, you're a guy. No. I'm pretty sure you got a guy in your family. Bring him. So I understand. I get it. I totally get it. Right. I get it.
Right, right.
See, C-Bar says, what's up, y'all? What's up? What's up?
What's up, C-Bar?
What's up, C-Bar?
But another thing too is we also talked about Waterworld earlier today though, Josh. Like I had memories with that with my grandfather. Like I forgot what movie I saw in the theaters in Boston because that's where I'm originally from. But I remember I went to see a movie. That movie got done. My grandmother, my mom wanted to go to Kmart and I'm like, can I just go see another movie with my grandfather? So I got to see Waterworld and I fell in love with the storyline. I fell in love with Kevin Costner. Making, well, pissing on a boat and making water out of something and sterilizing it. But it was like such a manly movie. It's like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. It's like, this is a great adventure movie. I still love this movie to this day.
I just don't understand the hate and disdain people have for, you got Kevin Costner cosplaying as a mermaid. Okay. Right. He is everything, the hero, the anti-hero.
Right.
He's oh my gosh, why am I going blank? You know what the movie's supposed to be on water. The movie I'm talking about. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. He just played it. What's it called?
Say it again.
Waterworld is a water reflection of this movie. The dystopian film. It just came out like a couple years ago. And
I can't remember.
Mad Max.
Oh, Mad Max. Yes.
Mad Max Fury Road, which is one of my favorite movies.
Yes. That's all Waterworld is. So how you hate that, I don't know. And the graphics was good. They shot the whole theme on water, so that should be exceptional. I like the storyline. Again, a very masculine movie.
Right.
I think people just go out of their way to hate stuff. Waterworld was good, man.
Yeah, I remember when it came out and I remember, first of all, a huge Kevin Costner fan. So at the time, if Kevin Costner was in a film, I was there to watch it. I mean, he made great films. And I remember this one being different because it was exciting that, oh my gosh, it's going to be like the whole film's going to be filmed, you know, water world, you know? And then the storyline, him being, I think he was the mariner or the mariner or whatever it was. It was a great story. The little girl, I thought it was good. I really thought it was good. It was a little long, but, it was a little long, but I was excited for it. I enjoyed Waterworld, I remember the hate that they got for, like people hated that movie.
If you had to find something, if you were forced to find something negative, what would be the negative thing you find?
Just the fact that it was just way too long.
How about you, John?
The only thing that I have to say that probably doesn't fit into today's time and everything too is probably the map on the girl's back because she's like 7 or 8.
But
that's like the only thing that I can say that takes away from this movie.
I didn't even think about that. That would not be okay.
That would not be okay. That 7-year old had that tattoo. Okay
today. Why did Sons of Anarchy before Sons of Anarchy was cool? That's how she was.
Like, for real, who put the map on that child back right now?
I know, right? They put the map on that baby's right back.
I can't even think of that. You absolutely right. But see, I gotta go back and look at that. Like, why was I okay with that? Oh my gosh. But yeah, outside of it being a little too long, it was definitely longer than the Roots series. So I get that. But I enjoyed it, man. I like Waterworld and I hate the hate that it gets. I did a review about it and people in my comments have changed their minds about it. So that's dope.
I really enjoyed Roots. Yeah. Because here's another thing that I like about it is the fact that you still have, and I think in Orlando, they still at Universal, they still have that whole entire play that they do for Waterworld, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
The last time I went to Universal Studios, I didn't see a Waterworld.
Oh.
I didn't see anything for Waterworld. And I definitely would have enjoyed that because I'm a Waterworld fan. So I didn't see anything for Waterworld. You talking the live action thing?
Yeah, like how they have the plays like they used to do back in the day when we went to in the 90s. Because I know you remember like the Beetlejuice play. You remember Back to the Future and stuff like that.
Yes.
So
now Waterworld is gone. They don't do Waterworld anymore.
That sucks because even the Jaws ride is gone now too. And I remember my grandfather's. What's that?
Terminator 2 is gone.
I
can't believe they took that away. They got rid of Terminator 2. For the Minions, I believe it is.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, listen, we are dying out. We got to stand together and stay strong.
They need to have a separate thing for Universal Studios for us older people to enjoy.
Right. Yes.
Nostalgia only. Yes. I agree.
Universal. I think people would love that too.
If Universal Studios, if you're listening, please take heed to what we're saying. Please.
My wife says, hey, y'all. Hey, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy. How you doing?
The Back to the Future ride. Yes, the Back to the Future ride is one of my favorites.
Hey.
I never got to do Back to the Future, but I remember being pouring into projects and seeing the commercials on Fox.
Those commercials are fire. I'm gonna be real. It made me want to go like right then and there.
Right?
And go.
You thought it was real, and it really wasn't real. Is that... Oh, my gosh. But no, Waterworld is gone.
Yes.
What else we got?
Jaws is gone.
Yeah. Let's see. How about since we mentioned Showgirls, I'll mention that. I have seen it so many times. I know it was like a horrible film. I was a Saved by the Fan or Saved by the Bell fan. So I loved Elizabeth Berkley. I was excited for her. I love Gina Gershon. I've seen a lot of her films. So I was like, yes, this is going to be good. You know, seen it a lot of times, and even though I know, like, the storyline, you know, this girl, she wants to make it as a showgirl in Vegas, she goes through all this stuff, she gets to see how dirty that world is and how horrible it is, and it was supposed to be, like, Elizabeth Berkley's, like, her movie star, becoming a movie star from Saved by the Bell, so I was absolutely floored. I get why the reviews were really bad, but I've seen it, I just enjoyed it, I love Showgirls. And that came out in, what, 1995? Yeah.
Yep.
I think this is cool because this is the first time, and we're supposed to do this on a podcast because we're being honest. This is the first time we get to disagree. I think the showgirls are like the Simpsons after 1995. They had absolutely no business on anybody's TV, in anybody's movie theater. I don't know who, I don't know who gave Showgirls that budget to make that film. I've seen St. Jude commercials with better writing than Showgirls. Listen, if I wasn't a 12-year-old pubescent boy, that movie would have never laid upon these eyes. That movie was horrible. It was not one thing redeeming outside of her being fine about that movie. Ooh. If you, Rossi, but that movie was horrible. The script was written on the back of a cereal box.
Was it part of Life cereal or what? Or was it part
of Life cereal? Like, there's a scene in the movie, and I'm not going to be vulgar, you know what I'm saying, and especially out of respect for Rossi, but there's a scene where they're on the stage, and the women, to be showgirls, they have to be aroused at certain points of the show.
Right.
And they bring out ice. Whoever wrote that, Puff Daddy, and and somebody else wrote that in that script. That script was terrible.
I loved it. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I've seen it so many times, you guys. I've seen it by myself in my room. No, because I, you know, obviously my family watching that, they make it, my boys would do brutal things, you know, to make sure that I understood how horrible the movie was. I would cuddle up on a couch on a Saturday or Sunday morning and it would come on Lifetime or something like that. And I would sit and watch it. Yeah, it made it to Lifetime. It made its rounds. I mean, it's cut, you know?
It was terrible. It was horrible.
Okay. Listen, I'm standing by Showgirls. Okay. I'm standing by Showgirls. And as soon as I'm done with Showgirls, when you're done, John, I have another one on here that I know we probably will argue about. But now this other one, okay. All right. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't care what any of y'all say. Sharknado 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, starring Tara Reid, N. Ziering, and everybody else, all the other celebrities that want to get in on Sharknado. It is so good. I remember, listen, I happened to just, because I love, like, sci-fi movies on a Saturday morning. All right, so sci-fi movie. Like, what is this Sharknado thing? End up just watching it just to see what it was. Next thing you know, I am watching the whole thing. I'm watching part 2, 3, 4. I think there's 5 of them. I love the Sharknado films. They are a great, wholesome film for the family, I must say. Rock, Joanne, JoJo, whatever. Great for the family. These sharks, they invade the city and then they become a tornado. That's how Tara Reid, you know, after the whole thing with, you know, American Pie and after she kind of fell off the cliff, this is what brought her back. I'm going to be honest with you. There is such huge fan for Sharknado, and I really don't think that they get their just dues that they deserve. What a great film, and I cannot wait for Sharknado 6.
He said, what a great film.
What a great film. Sci-fi are wonderful for putting out films like this. If it weren't for sci-fi on a Saturday afternoon, I would have never discovered Sharknado. Because just to let you know, Josh, I am a fan of shark films. But this one here, man.
John is going to kill me for inviting me on this show. He's going to be like, I did not invite you on this show to attack Rossi like this. Rossi, listen. You are about to go 0-2. I'm going to tell you, real 30-second quick story. In 2018, I went and did some work for Fandango, and I went to Comic-Con. And before Sharknado 5 came out, I actually met the entire cast of Sharknado. So I sat there, and I talked to them for about 15, 20 minutes without knowing who any of these people were. Had no idea. And we were just laughing and blah, blah, blah. And then they go and they sit down in the interview room, and they were like, yeah, well, we're here to talk about our movie, Sharknado 5. And I watched Sharknado 5. Listen. There in elementary schools, there were certain kids that ate glue and smelled permanent markers with the metal top.
Oh, I know which ones you're talking about.
The people that did those things enjoy Sharknado 5
and sniff white out.
I had a thing for chalk in school, so I'm not even gonna lie. Love the clear the chalkboard.
you could have said something more ridiculous like Blasted. You could have said Gremlins 2. You said this is what brought her back.
This is remember, listen, that's you didn't see Tara Reid. She's in every single Sharknado. You know why? Because she is the star of Sharknado. And if I saw a Sharknado without her in it, it'd be like, what's going on? Where's Tara Reid? Where's N. Ziering?
You are looking at Sharknado for Tara Reid?
Well, yeah, imagine, because after you watched after the first three, she was in all three of them. So if you come back with a fourth or a fifth one, it's like, where is Tara Reid at, right? Because She no. is Sharknado. Sharknado. And let me tell you, now the storyline, no. you know, this is what I love about it. Yeah, it man. Is, it's a B-rated film. You know, it's a B-rated film, but you just enjoy, you can't not look at it. And so before I know it, I'm on Sharknado 5. And I couldn't believe that one was even better than Sharknado 4, 3, 2, and 1.
She did a whole ranking.
The fact
and I'm telling you, ask the family. I love Sharknado.
John, the fact that she said after the first three, right, you made it past one.
Right. I get this. She did more than I did because I got like 30 minutes in and I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Really? You turned it? Yeah. If you just sit and watch, you'll get it. So them being what at Comic-Con, they should have been. They should have been. What was that?
What is it to get?
What is it to get?
Because when I first watched it, I was like, you guys, this is a freaking joke. This cannot be real. Next thing you know, I finished it. And then I was like, I like that. I what a good B-rated film. And the next thing you know, Sharknado 2 came out. I saw that one. All of them I've seen, you guys. All of them. And I'm sitting and watching like, this is a Saturday night film for me, Sharknado. It's a good B-rated films. You got to give love to some B-rated films. And like I said, if not for Sharknado, where would Tara Reid be? Listen, this brought her career back.
In better movies.
Yeah. I thought you would do better with another National Lampoon's movie with Ryan Reynolds again or something.
Yes!
Nah, dude. She's bound to Sharknado. I mean, she is. He saw her. He saw her at Comic-Con. Josh, let me ask you this. Man. Were they happy and proud of the film when they were talking to you?
They were extremely happy. They were extremely proud. And what stole the show, Fabio was in 5, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so when Fabio walked into the room, again, from the hood. I only seen Fabio on TV commercials. When he walked into the room with half of his chest open, like he didn't even walk. He floated in thin air. It was a cloud underneath Fabio. How Sharknado was able to afford Fabio, I don't know.
I can't believe it's not butter, Fabio. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But here's the thing.
Somebody is giving them money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because every celebrity wants to be in Sharknado. Every celebrity that had big careers wants to be in Sharknado. You see everyone in Sharknado. I mean, you have to admit, the guy from 90210, he was in Sharknado. I love Zering from 90210. Then I saw Tara Reid. Then you see Fabio. You see so many celebrities that want to be in Sharknado because it is Roadhouse. There you go. It's a classic. It's a cult classic.
We're not doing
and I'm
that.
Just going to leave it there.
Compared to the Roadhouse.
Thank you for leaving it there. Thank you. Let's abandon it. That we're bad players right now.
May of sways.
Thank you for allowing me to. And hey, well, guys out there, if you guys have not seen Sharknado, it's streaming everywhere. Go watch it. Inbox
literally
us. Let me know what you think.
I was at the gas station the other day, pumping gas, and it popped up on a little screen. Part 9.
That's going to be their opening day.
Like, for real.
So,
singing the Saturn. Now you're singing it.
Now you know me a little bit better, Josh.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. See, speaking of nostalgia, this is what Brandy says. Now you see me, now you don't.
The fact that she said nostalgia, are we getting that old?
I don't feel like we are. I mean, like when, 80s and,
you know,
that's our era. That's when, all
when
around
did the, us. When did Now You See Me, Now You Don't come out? How many years ago was that?
That was in the 2010s?
No way!
Yeah, wasn't it in the 2010s? Isn't that Leonardo DiCaprio?
No.
No?
You're thinking of,
Okay.
Catch me.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. You're right.
Now
You're right.
See Me came out in
13. Brandy says 13?
Yeah, 2013.
That movie came out 12 years ago?
Yeah.
Let's see.
We watched.
Yep. Now you see.
We old. Yeah, it had Morgan Freeman. It had
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, the dude that plays the Hulk.
Yep.
Okay.
And, Mark Ruffalo's in it. Woody Harrelson's in it.
Michael Caine, okay.
Dave Franco.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Dave Franco was young in it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I forgot all about that film.
Yeah. You said you're aging like fine wine. Yeah, we are.
Thank you, Brandy. Thank you.
Bitter wine. We are great. That'll be crushed. We raisins. They squeezing the juice out of a raisin now.
I feel like my check maintenance, maintenance light is on in my body sometimes. That's how.
100%. Hey. For real.
110%.
For real.
So we can't talk about Now You See Me because that wasn't a bad film. That film was critically acclaimed. Everybody liked it. It spawned two sequels. There's another sequel coming out now. Kind of got weird. The first movie was cool, but now when they introduced
Harry Potter.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
When it was more science fiction. Yeah, it was like it got weird, but that was a great movie. So we can't talk about that one because that was a good movie. We only talk about
that was, and now they're coming out with another one.
They're coming out with another one.
Now You See Me, Now You Don't. That's what the sequel is called.
It's like magic, and it's real magic now or something. I don't know.
Hmm. Let's talk about Armageddon because that's also another thing. I remember going to see that movie in theaters, and I'm just cracking up laughing. Like they got oil rig people, blue collar people to go out in space to kill this asteroid. As a matter of fact, I did a fan theory on what's his name guy's name now, but Buscemi's character. I actually did a fan theory about the fact that he's the same dude from Con Air. It's just that he changed his name and joined this team.
That didn't take off?
No, it didn't.
That's a really good theory. That is a really good theory. I think people that didn't love Armageddon, I don't think they had love in their lives. You had to be you had to be a real miserable person to not feel emotionally connected to a bunch of oil people going to an asteroid to save Earth.
Right.
Okay? And it had probably one of the greatest soundtrack songs in history.
It was like an Aerosmith album, if you think about it. Every song was Aerosmith.
Like, that got to be one of the biggest songs ever. And the graphics in that movie, again, ahead of its time. I actually love disaster movies.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a very good end of the world disaster movie. I was a little young when it came out, so of course I was scared. I thought the world was going to end like that. That movie and Deep Impact ruined my childhood.
Oh, I remember seeing Deep Impact in theaters as well as a kid. Like, but I thought Armageddon was better than Deep Impact because I found myself falling asleep in Deep Impact as a kid.
Nah. You tripping. Nah. Armageddon was not better than Deep Impact.
It was just fun to stuff your face with popcorn for 2.5 hours and just seeing what these guys are doing. And especially when you have the whole entire Ben Affleck scene where
he's singing nose to nose.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
That's when his face wasn't as big.
Right.
The door now, so I don't know. But
I can't believe that's like a bad film. Armageddon, that's a good film. Bad, though. Yeah, so good as... Yeah, I thought it was a good film, though. I mean, not even... I wouldn't even put it on a worst film list or anything. I thought it was... Because I, like you said, Josh, I love those films, The End of the World, or when they go to space and it's really good. I love those type of films. I thought it was good, though.
But see, I think with films like that, you got to judge it against its neighbor and... With films like Armageddon, you may not, and I know you guys and gals, I apologize, Rossi. I know you all are movie buffs. Armageddon made movies like, do you remember the movie The Core?
Yep.
Yes.
When we had to drill to the scene of that. That movie was so stupid and so dumb and so out of this world. That's why people get mad at movies like Armageddon, because it made The Core and Dante's Peak. And
Dante speak. Yep.
Things that started happening very, very fast. So I think if people talk bad about it, it's because of what it preceded.
Okay.
It was the father of, we don't want that. We didn't ask for that. Just like Rossi said.
We didn't ask for
that. We appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
One great movie isn't common. Hold on.
Zathara. I do, but isn't Zathara in the same vein as The Lion, the Witch, right. And the Wardrobe.
This is actually like a Jumanji kind of style movie where basically they get sucked into this base game. And every single time when they are interacting, they're out in space. So it's destroying the house. Asteroids are destroying the house in space and stuff like that. Okay. It's very different. I liked it. She introduced me to that film for the very first time. It's like science fiction mixed with a little bit of fantasy, stuff like that. It has a great family, style to it.
Right.
But the Armageddon has like a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. So.
Yep. Makes sense.
And a 73% on the, popcorn meter. So.
Okay.
Makes sense. Okay. I told you.
I just want to make sure.
People remember it for the damage it did.
What about Jiggly?
I'm just gonna tell you this.
I've seen it once. I really liked Jennifer Lopez. I really liked Ben Affleck, their relationship. I've seen it. I thought it was all right. I just put it down here just to, you know, add something to it. It was a 2003 movie. It was about, you know. I won't tell y'all what it's about, but you know,
everybody in the room knows what it's about.
That was one of the worst movies in the history of cinema.
It was at the bottom of the list, but I just wanted to mention, you know, Jiggly. And, you know, just like I said, just a fan of, you know, Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck, nice little, you know, romance, funny type of situation. You know, she played a character named Ricky.
This is what I'm going to tell you.
She played a character named Ricky.
Yeah. I even saved the IMDb information if anybody needs to know about it, but I'm sure you guys know about it.
She don't even want to know about it.
I just wanted to mention.
It was Ricky.
She played unknown, you know, just kind of this, you know, she plays, you know, and her name's Ricky, and, you know, he's this, you know, Keystone type of detective, you know,
that's a new segment. Who asked for this?
You know what? That might actually be a good one. I like that idea.
That is good.
All right, let's do that one.
Oh my gosh.
Who asked for this?
New segment. Yes.
Yes, let's do that. Who asked for this?
Okay.
What are you saying, John? You said you take Jiggly and you raise us something. You were saying it.
Yeah. There's actually a movie that's better than that. Well, it's a whole lot better than that. Not just because Jennifer Lopez dies at the beginning of it.
Okay.
But it's Jersey Girl that Kevin Smith made.
I remember Jersey Girl.
What is your problem?
Remember Bucky Larson?
Wait. Bucky Larson, is that Bucky Larson?
Born to be a Star? Nick Swanson.
We're not gonna disrespect Bucky Larson. That was Dick Swanson. Yeah, we're not disrespecting Bucky Larson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now for real. Like this, I only watched this film because I love Nick Swanson and I loved him in all of the Comedy Channel, the police one that they used to do. Remember how funny that was? And, this was Adam Sandler production. Yes. And, it was funny. His parents were porn stars. He wanted to go out and kind of do the same thing. It was a really funny film at the time. So just mention that was on my list.
Let's see. Brandy says, one movie I thought sucked was Moulin Rouge. I love the music, but the movie, not so much.
It was horrible.
Yeah, that was bad.
It was terrible. I agree with you. It was terrible.
I agree too.
Now I got to give y'all one of my guilty pleasures.
Okay.
I'm kind of scared because I've been bashing y'all movies a lot. One of my favorite all-time movies, and I could watch this movie all the time, forever in a day. Do y'all remember National Lampoon's Loaded Weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Emilio Estevez.
Yes.
I can watch that movie a million times. I'm a real big spoof movie fan. Love The Naked Gun. Love Loaded Weapon. That's my guilty pleasure. I think my movie taste is way light years better than y'all's movie taste. I don't know if I should have done this podcast for my brand because she just said, "General," she just said, "Get." Oh, so my manager hates me for this.
Okay.
Year One. Have y'all ever seen Year One?
Yeah, I have.
With Jack Black.
Jack Black, and the actor that played in Superbad.
Oh yeah, that's right. He plays that. Yeah,
that movie was destroyed. What is the Rotten Tomato score on that? If y'all can tell me.
Let me see.
Year One, find that for me. I think that movie deserves an Oscar for comedy.
14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes don't know what they're talking about. It's 14%.
Yeah.
Yep. That's like 14 and 24% on the tomato meter.
The fans didn't like it?
Nope.
That movie is so quotable, man.
It's such a horrible film.
I love Year One. Mm-mm. I love Mm-mm. Year One.
Mm-mm. I'll put that up against Sharknado any day.
Against what?
I'll put that up against Jersey Girl.
We'll put that up with Sharknado, Jersey Girl, and Year One. Yep.
Is Jennifer Lopez sponsoring this podcast tonight? Because something is off about you two. I can't do this with you two.
Well, I like Money Train, if that helped.
Like,
Money Train?
Yeah.
Money Train was good, but Wesley Snipes? That's when I first saw Jennifer Lopez. Yeah. That's what made me fall in love with Jennifer Lopez was Money Train. I was like,
listen.
Now, I've seen that movie so many times, you guys. So many times. I used to rent it all the time. I love that movie. I even would turn it in late because I didn't want to give it back to, like, Blockbuster. So I just want to mention that to you, Josh. for real.
I think Jennifer Lopez is talented. I can't take away her talent. I think she's a gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
I think she seems like a nice person. I don't know her personally. The only movie that I could watch with Jennifer Lopez, root for her, not be upset, and pay attention is Enough. That was the only movie I looked at, and I was like, you know what? Enough was a great redemption story. I love that it explored domestic violence and growing and maturing and trusting yourself.
Right.
Outside of the movie Enough, absolutely. And Selena. Selena.
You're right.
I watched that in Spanish class all the time in high school.
Selena?
Yeah, our Spanish teacher. Let me tell you this. If she didn't want to teach, she would throw Selena on the TV screen and everybody would just bust out having Tatita chips and Coke. We would already have it planned out in our bags and everything.
We used to watch La Bamba.
Oh yeah, that was real. I love that movie.
But La Bamba's rough to watch.
Oh, it's so hard to watch. I mean, I don't care how many times you've seen La Bamba. You cry every time. You know what's going to happen. And that's just the saddest thing, how they all just die. That was just, man.
Which I'm surprised, and maybe y'all can fill me in because I don't know it. Have they ever made a movie about Otis Redding? Because Otis Redding just died the exact same way.
Right. Oh,
okay.
No, yeah, they never made a biography.
I would love to see a biography about... Otis Redding. He passed away the exact same way.
Yep.
Froze at the bottom of the lake.
Yep, froze. Yep.
So that was crazy. Okay, enough of the sad stuff. Let's get back to it.
Okay, Brandy says one of her favorite original films is Labyrinth. And
Labyrinth was good.
Okay, Brandy, no disrespect. You pour M&Ms into your Coca-Cola 100% as a child. You can't convince me. You can't convince me otherwise. You poured M&M's into your Coca-Cola because Labyrinth was for people that drink out the side of a soda can. Like, that movie was more than strange. How? Brandon? And I like you, B-Dot. I like you, B-Dot. But Brandon, no. That was very weird, B.
I love that. I love that.
Let's see. 12th Street says, I watched enough 1,000 times since Lena 2.
Put up her Money Train thing.
Yeah, she also she loves Money Train.
She don't like Money Train. She did not
thank
say
you,
Money 12, Train.
Thank you, 12. Thank you. Thank you, girl. Money thank train. You. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. But, yeah.
Okay. What did I get myself into?
This is a movie that I reviewed on the channel, Surf Ninjas.
Surf Ninjas is great.
Are you serious? For real?
I love that movie.
I might need to get another manager because she hates that movie too. And again, it was ahead of its time. They were playing what basically was the Sega,
the Sega, Game Gear. Game Gear.
Oh, okay.
They're basically playing the Sega Game Gear. Did you know the main character in that movie played one of the Ninja Turtles in the original Ninja Turtle movie?
Yeah, Ernie, right? Played one of the, yeah, and then Ernie went on ahead and played in part two.
Yep, the Secret of the U's.
Yep.
Movie buff fun fact.
Yes. And you know what, though? There was just something about Rob Schneider that just made me laugh my ass off with him.
No, like, he was. You're right. He was funny in that. He was like, oh, my God. My powers. I think it happened. Oh my God. What if it happens? Oh my God. He was in Leslie Nielsen played a great villain in that movie. Yes. I thought it was funny. But that was around the time when movies could be lighthearted, not taken too serious and not broken apart. Like in the same vein as Surf Ninjas, you had Airborne. Remember Airborne?
Oh yeah. I'm going to be reviewing that with Doom Generation.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So. I won't talk too much about it because you're going to review it. But Airborne was another phenomenal movie that wasn't taking itself too serious. It was completely ridiculous. Nobody's going to skate down Devil's Backbone. Where the hell was y'all parents at?
Like, why y'all? Number one, they were white. I have to say that they were white.
Right.
I'm glad you finally said something I didn't want to say.
Yes.
That was one of the most Caucasian activities in history. Like, let's get on rollerblades and skate down a 300-foot drop. and we're going to go through traffic for nothing. To prove nothing.
To prove that's nothing hilarious. To you.
To prove
because
nothing.
You're a bully, but we're going to do this anyways and break our neck.
Like, my friends that I've known for the last 17 years are going to turn their back on me because a skater dude says, bro, wait. But we have too many people critiquing all the stuff. So Airborne was another great movie that should have got some critical acclaim for sure.
I love that movie. I can watch that movie all the time, to be honest with you.
Airborne.
It also has Jack Black in it too.
Jack Black, a very young Jack Black. Dang, I forgot about that. You know, I'm going off on a tangent. I apologize, guys, because I know y'all got
I need to make that t-shirt. Caucasian.
I love that. Caucasian activities.
There was a movie. This is one of my favorite movies in history. I can watch this movie 10 times a year. It's called My Boyfriend's Back.
I remember that.
Came out in 1993. And it's hilarious. I think Philip Seymour Hopkins was in that movie.
Yeah.
Small role. But you know who was in that movie? It had two lines in that movie and became a big star. If you go back and watch that movie. Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, my God.
Me and you might be family.
Yes. Yes.
He had a small part. I was watching it like a month ago. And I stopped and I was like, wait, is that Matthew McConaughey in a movie theater?
Wow. Like,
two lines?
Dude, that was like, let me tell you a funny story here, too. Like, I remember wanting to watch this as a kid, right? And I got my mom to rent it for me. And mom was like, this has nothing to do with the song from the 1950s. I said, I know, it's great, isn't it?
It's great.
You shouldn't have been watching that movie, though. There was a scene where his penis falls.
Yeah.
You should not have been watching that movie. Like, I was 9 when I was watching that movie.
Me too.
And I remember, like, a month ago when I watched it the song... It's so emotional. Hanging on for dear life had me stressed. I'm like, I need to die, come back. But then watching it as an adult is kind of like not depressing, but it's definitely kind of like, because he's racing against death. He has to go to a funeral. He's not going to live. And just thinking about how people would treat you if you had a second chance.
Right.
They were like, yo, we want that dead kid. We don't want your kind around here, dead boy.
it just going through Rachel's shoes as a dead person.
Oh my gosh.
It holds up a mirror to society. And I love it.
Oh my gosh. I love it. What about Lake Placid, guys?
I love Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, I don't know why they got bad reviews. I thought it was phenomenal.
Right? Yeah.
I thought the graphics were great. I thought the storyline was what it needed to be.
Yeah.
I think the reason I think movies like Lake Placid, Anaconda, Piranha, even the new Meg movies, which I thought was great movies.
I thought they were great too, yes.
We got to stop comparing things to the original. Like, so they compare Lake Placid to Jaws.
Right.
And it can't be compared to Jaws.
No.
If you review that movie and let it stand on its own, it's a phenomenal film.
Mm. Right.
Let's see here. I want to get to that in a minute, too, because I have something to bounce off you guys on that too, because I know someone actually compared another movie that said it was like Jaws and it's nothing like Jaws. But let's see here. Brandy says another horrible movie is Gotti. That phrase from the movie became a trend that made me cringe. And I don't even know what the trend is, so I'm trying to find out
what Gotti is.
None.
Yeah, it had John Travolta in it. And I'll be honest with you.
Oh, the Gotti. Okay, John Gotti. Okay.
Yeah, and I was excited for that movie up until I seen a flat screen at their home, and it's supposed to be taking place in the 1970s. I'm like, John, what are you, a time traveler?
Really?
You can actually see in the background that there's a flat screen TV somewhere.
Oh, I'm like, wow.
Are you a time traveler? Time traveler, Gotti?
Wow, that's messed up.
But yeah,
I didn't even attempt Gotti. I might have to look at it now, but I didn't know what Gotti was.
Yeah.
And I like mob movies.
But I want to go ahead and bounce off of you guys, okay? So they were comparing Lake Placid to Jaws. So Under Paris came out last year, and they were trying to compare that movie to Jaws. I'm like, that is nothing like Jaws. This is like the shark is in the Olympics. And it's like they put Jaws in the Olympics and they're killing people in this, in this little underground tunnel is basically what it is. I enjoyed the movie. I could turn my brain off for like 2.5 hours and just enjoy it and stuff popcorn in my face, but it's not Jaws level. It's not Jaws level good, but it also has a little bit of Deep Blue Sea in it too.
Yes.
I think with Jaws, and I think any movie that comes out of Jaws, the writers have to, it's two things, and I've been thinking about this, right? Because I try to do short films sometimes too, even being a comedian. But I was like, if you want to make a great movie, we have to make period pieces. So we got to get out of, there's things that just won't be done in 2025. Like Jaws couldn't eat nobody because Jaws would be on TikTok by 12 o'clock. Somebody would surf the back of a Jaws right now. So it would never work now. So we got to start comparing things to Jaws.
Right.
And I just don't, the reason the Meg worked for me, they gave it like this prehistoric background of we released gases and the fish swam through because it was warm enough. And now this big mammoth, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Killer shark is no pun intended, a fish out of water.
Right.
Nothing's gonna ever hold up to Jaws. I think the Meg got as close, but again, people, it's like the Michael Jordan, LeBron James conversation. People they have to love the classics because nothing can be better than it was then, because then it would be admitting that things now are better than they were then.
But not only that, but without Jaws, you wouldn't have films, other shark films like Sharknado or
100%. Please,
the Meg.
Please stop.
Thank you, John.
Stop doing it, John.
But yeah, they used elements from Jaws to make their own movies and stuff like that. So, that's something I enjoy. Remember that I did a deep dive on John Wick on how and compared that to the Warriors. But,
I never thought about that.
Yeah. There's actually I went a whole entire rabbit hole with it. Because it was like very eye opening whenever I saw it for the first time last month. And I'm like, this is like John Wick. And then next thing I know it, I was like, okay, I'm making a video. But here's the thing, without those old classics that we grew up on, there would not be all this other formulaic stuff that we get now.
100%.
Right.
You know, and to compare apples to oranges, saying, oh, this is just like this. No, it's not. Go watch the original. That's what you have is the cover song of that movie, and you're trying to say that cover song is better than the original.
Right.
So.
I agree.
So comparing The Meg to Jaws, you don't think it holds up?
Here's the thing. I was expecting, this is what I said when I went into it. I said, I just want to see Jason Statham roundhouse a shark. That's all I want to see. Roadhouse. I just want to kick him in the face. Yes. And say Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
I just like with The Meg, you know, the adventure that Jason Statham brought to it. Cause I've seen all of them. They're really good. I mean, like you said, Josh, the backstory, of how The Meg, you know, came to be. I enjoyed the whole film. I didn't think about, you know, Jaws, you know, I mean, it's a shark film, but it's its own thing. You know what I mean?
It's a megalodon. Right.
Yeah. Megalodon. I love that. Totally his own thing.
It's very rare that newer movies outdo the older movies. And I might be in the minority. I know I am. I definitely would put The Meg over Jaws.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
Not even close.
Okay.
I see the shirt. I know I'm attacking you.
I know you are. I see you.
You boiling inside right now. You like, if Josh doesn't shut
up. Hey, I got the 4K DVD at the vault in my
room. We know you do. We know you do.
I take The Meg over Jaws. I thought it was, I thought the storyline was more interesting. I thought the deaths were better. And I thought I thought there was a real threat with The Meg more than it was with Jaws.
Right, I get that.
I gotcha. Let's see here. Brandy asked, do you like License to Drive?
Oh, what a great film.
I love that movie from the 80s.
I love that movie. Yes, that was really good at the time.
Oh, it's good. I enjoyed it from the
80s. It was good. Corey
Feldman?
Feldman? Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the one with, that was The Chase. That's the one with, Charlie Sheen, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking about The Chase.
That's one of my favorites too. I like that one.
Chase. I love The Chase. Again, me being a young
License to Drive.
The Chase was good. There was one scene in The Chase I was like, this is what being a relationship is going to be like, Ma? I can't wait to drive, Ma. I can't wait to get in the car, Ma.
Right, and let the girl go on my lap and everything as I'm driving and have a relationship.
The police sit behind you and the sun sets. Okay. That's going to happen.
Unlimited gas miles, yeah.
I ain't around
unlimited, yeah, right.
License to Kill. I ain't get to see License to Kill. I have to check that out.
Oh, I love License to Kill.
Yeah, that. License to Kill? Oh.
License to Drive. I'm sorry.
License to Drive.
License
that
to
one's
drive.
A good one.
I'm like, James Bond? Okay.
Richard Grieco movie I like, though, too.
What was
that? Has, like, this James Bond kind of flavor to it.
Which one?
Richard Grieco.
Oh.
Grieco spy movie.
Wasn't it, like, one of his last?
Oh, it looks to kill.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you know what? I thought it was a fever dream because I was obsessed with James Bond Jr. at that time, that animated cartoon show. So I thought that was James Bond Jr. live action, the adaptation of James Bond Jr.
Oh my
so
gosh.
All this time, I'm like, what is that movie called? And it was like a fever dream. I'm like, does this movie even exist? Because I don't even think this movie exists.
And then, it did.
Yep. And then years ago on DirecTV, I'm like, this is the James Bond Jr. movie. And it's not James Bond Jr. Yep.
On what TV?
DirecTV at that time. It's on satellite.
Thank you. On what TV? I watched the bad. Okay. Okay. And I know we're winding down. I watched the movie about 2 weeks ago, and I'm going to admit this is bad. I just got to have your, I want both your thoughts. And if you haven't seen it, it's okay to admit you haven't. I watched Clifford as an adult for the first time.
Oh, I love that movie.
Clifford is horrible.
The big red dog, right?
No,
Martin Short. No, Shorty.
Clifford the Big Red Dog?
No, with Martin Short.
Oh, gosh, no.
Yes, it is terrible.
Yeah.
It is terrible. Like, when's the last time you watched it, John?
I watched it I was a kid, and then I watched it about 3 years ago.
And you liked it still?
Oh, yeah, that was horrible. He played that little boy.
You know, when I agreed to do this podcast, I was like, I was excited. I was like, we got a film guru. They're going to really give me some in-depth stuff that I didn't know about. Rossi told me Sharknado and Giggly. Now, John is telling me Clifford is still good.
Yeah, I'm that was.
I'm going to need Xanax. I'm going to need a Xanax milkshake or something.
Get this. Even my wife looked at me weird whenever I said I like this movie.
Yes, it was creepy on so
it was, yeah, no, it was. It was really creepy. Martin Short playing that little boy. And I think isn't he going cross country to go back to somebody?
No.
Yeah, anyways.
No. So he went with his uncle to go to dinosaur land, world, whatever. And he has this weird crush on his uncle's wife that's never addressed.
Never. Right. The girlfriend, yeah.
The girlfriend. It's never addressed. She's upset because she want to get pregnant. The man is saying he don't want a baby right now. It's super creepy, man. It's terrible.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I had to Google it just to find out. When I saw the face, I was like, oh my God, that's that little boy. He played that little boy.
Speaking of like creepy,
mm-hmm.
The movie Blank Check.
I've reviewed it.
When the boy had a thing for the lady bank teller. Mm-hmm. And she said, call her in a few years. And nobody saw a problem with this.
Well, okay, let me tell you this. As a kid, I'm like, okay, this gives me hope. As a kid that's 10 years old, I'm like, okay, I get to be with an older woman. And then,
think about that now.
Okay, so I reviewed this with Smith and them on the podcast, as a matter of fact. And everything about that movie is weird to begin with. But
she kisses him.
But this is my phase. Phase one. Oh, this is nice. You mean to tell me I get to be with a bank teller and I get at age 12, 13? Okay. Then as I'm going into my preteens, right? I'm going like this. I'm like, this feels weird. I don't know if I should be feeling this way, but there is something up. Then suddenly I'm in my 40s. There is something wrong with this picture.
And she got dressed up in a short dress to go on a date with him.
Yes. And this is what I said in my podcast. I said, what the fuck was he going to do? Whenever he got her. This is what I want to know. What was he going to do with her?
Now, if you just calmly, not even just calmly reverse those roles and make the main character a young girl and a weird Matthew McConaughey looking bank teller, that movie would have been panned to hell. But that was another creepy thing that I was like, one more thing. And it is one of the greatest movies of all time in history. It's flawless. But in the movie The Sandlot, he was dead wrong for kissing Wendy Peppercorn.
Yep.
He was wrong.
Yeah.
And we cheered it.
Yep, I did. We did. Like, way to go, Squints. You did it, man. You did what every other kid always wanted to do.
You literally took that kiss, Squints.
Yep. And then she marries him at the end, though.
And they said they had seven kids, so you know what they were implying.
Yep. Yes, I do. That was an adult. I'm like, no, Squints. No.
No. Not here, Squints. Not here.
Brandy says her that's actually my favorite movie too, is Big.
Oh, I love Big.
I didn't like Big.
Really?
Because I gotta watch it now. I think I was way too young to appreciate it. I was way too young. I haven't watched it as an adult. I can admit that as a mature adult, but, I was too young to appreciate what was really going on. It would always be weird because she was kind of dating a child. In a sense. So it's kind of hard to disassociate what was really going on in the movie.
There's something to add in a minute.
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, who the hell was over Hollywood in the 90s, man?
Because, I don't know.
Oh my God.
Don't forget, there was a lot of cocaine back in the 80s, though.
The pink kind. The pink.
Right.
Yeah, the pink kind. Right, the pink kind.
The pink kind.
Right.
Big was cool. Great synopsis. Not a movie I would want to see remade in 2025. Right. I would love to see Blank Check remade, like 100%. I think that'll be extremely hilarious now with the exact same whatever. I would definitely eliminate the bank teller. I probably would make the young man 16 or 17 and, you know what I'm saying, something more reasonable, a little bit more calamity happening. But Big, just as a child, Big didn't do it for me. Curly Sue did it for me. I love Curly Sue.
Oh, I love Curly Sue. What a, that, now that was really good too. Curly Sue.
And I
want to
bounce off of this though on what you said though, Josh, with Big. So as an adult watching this, I'm like, okay, so the kid, he's 10 years old. He's a virgin. So 100%. He slept with her. So does that mean he's also not a virgin? Does that mean he's not a virgin afterwards?
Wait.
What happens after this?
He sleeps with her during the movie?
Yeah, he sleeps with her. They have a relationship.
Him as a, yeah, him as an adult.
My mind is going like this. I'm like, what happens after this? Does she get pregnant? What,
but wait, wait, doesn't she kiss him on the forehead at the end before he gets out of the car? She kisses him.
But there's also a scene where they are actually talking about comic books and stuff like that. And next thing you know it, they're kissing, and you know what happened. And then he's walking around the office, but he's swagging all the way through that office.
Right. No, never thought about that, John. I mean.
Yeah, like, I went on ahead, and I was just thinking, because I reviewed this not too long ago, too. And this is why I do the stripping away the nostalgia aspect of the show. And I'm like, so what happens afterwards? Is he still a virgin after he winds up becoming a kid again? Because, or is he not a virgin?
Right.
Is she pregnant now? And why does she want to go back with Josh? I don't blame her for not wanting to go back with Josh, because she already did her childhood.
Right.
And my mom, so this is like the rabbit hole down on when I'm doing this.
That's a good point.
And
he definitely is open.
That's a good point.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, right.
And then the blank check aspect that I wanted to talk to you about too was, there's even a scene that's very creepy where the father first gets the Apple computer, right? You remember that scene, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there's different ways to turn on a woman. And he says this in front of the wife, in front of the kids, and just, ooh, I know what I'm going to be using later or something like that. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I didn't even think about that.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah.
How did you catch that?
That's what I do.
Wow.
How did you catch that?
It's just the breakdown stuff that I do for the show and everything, stripping away the nostalgia aspect of it.
You know what? Now that we're talking about it, in the movie Problem Child.
Oh yeah.
Part one, the bad guy takes advantage of Problem Child's dad's girlfriend.
Yeah.
He gets out of jail, comes home, and takes... Wow!
Yeah, he does. Hmm. That's the dude from Seinfeld.
He's
prison.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And basically, she winds up leaving John Ritter's character for the prisoner.
Yeah, at the end, if she ends up in a suitcase in the back of a truck, but
I still remember his Wild One, that song playing in the background.
But when he comes home, he's eating, and he literally takes advantage of her in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I love what? That.
Yeah. This podcast is going left, because now you're ruining a lot of stuff that I like. You're ruining a lot of things that I like a lot.
I'm sorry, dude.
John, I'm gonna need you to stop. I'm gonna need you to stop, John.
Dang.
You know what, though? I didn't even think about that, because I was like, you know what? I want to review a Problem Child movie, because I've seen like the poster of it today. I'm like, you know what? That would be a good movie to review. Mm. And then,
good luck. Good luck with that one, John. Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
I forgot about that. It's crazy.
Dang.
It's insane.
Breaking them down.
Just the rabbit hole things I go through when I'm.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I watch the movie whenever I do a breakdown like that. I rewatch the movie twice. I do one for nostalgia. And then after that, I do another one for stripping away the nostalgia. So therefore, all my fun I had the first time, now it's time to get serious and really start taking notes. And.
I feel you. You are the bearer of bad news. You probably shouldn't review.
I'm the one who predicts the hurricane that's going to be hitting somewhere.
Right.
That's
how bad I am. Right.
Damn, man. The big thing messed me up, but yeah, continue.
Let's see. Brandy says the original Parenthood.
Yeah.
That was all right. Is that with Steve Martin?
Yeah. That was all right. That wasn't bad.
I like Parenthood. Parenthood's okay. We're not gonna bash Parenthood.
Yeah, Parenthood works. Let's not break that down.
No, I'm not gonna break that down.
Please don't break that down.
This has been years since I've seen it. So
okay. John's like, you know that scene?
I remember it. I like talking to you two actually makes me realize and understand that I've seen a lot of films and I didn't even realize it. This is cool. This is very eye-opening.
I'm glad, man. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. We love having you here. Matter of fact, we're going to do that segment, Who Asked for This?
Yeah.
Who asked for this?
Yes, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. And don't, Sharknado and all that.
Y'all got a promise to have me back, though.
We will.
Of course.
We want you back.
Yeah,
of course.
Like this is fun, and we could probably do this a lot longer. I think an hour is good because it keeps people attention.
Right. But
I can also definitely put out a feeder about some films that people would love to hear discussed, reviewed, and talked about to make it way more interactive and fun. And then we can figure out how to share this to my YouTube community immediately when it starts to make it fun as well. And we got to figure out a way to do this on Facebook Live because that's my biggest platform.
Is that okay?
Matter of fact, I'm actually streaming this on my Facebook as well. Right. And also
I didn't
YouTube.
Know that.
Yep. Yeah.
If I would have known that, I would have shared Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we could do that next. That's right. We'll do that next time. Share next his. Time, yeah.
I got you.
Please, yeah, we could put your Facebook.
Because I want you guys to get all the love and all the attention.
Thank
and
you.
All the smoke and
Thank
all
you.
The positivity.
Thank you, man.
We love doing this. This is so fun. And, I'm going to have another list. I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say next time I'll have another list of great films to tell you about.
No. No Jennifer Lopez.
No.
I promise
no
I won't
Sharknado.
Ruin your childhood with my breakdowns.
No. All right. You are not allowed to listen. Walton is not allowed to lead any other conversations because she said Giggly wasn't bad.
Hey, so that was my 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's my 7th one in line. And in my,
I have more on my list, but I figured, I'm enjoring the conversation so much.
Yeah. I even had Anaconda on my list.
She has a whole Jennifer Lopez
filmography. I had
who's paying you?
Anaconda on my list. That was great.
Who do you owe money? You clearly owe somebody money, man. Okay, so let's do this.
Okay.
Make sure you put a star by Anaconda, and in the next one you guys invite me to, we could do the best movie villains because. Angelina Jolie's dad, I forgot his name.
Who
played the bad guy Anaconda? He is on my top list, my top 5 list of movie villains in the history of cinema.
Oh, he's
from that movie alone.
Don Voight.
I would love to talk about that in depth the next time we talk.
Okay.
So thank you guys for having me. I appreciate y'all. This was fun. This was love. This was more than what I expected. Rossi, you are great. You are positive and you are super informative. John just ruined some things for me, but I'm going to be okay. And next time I see y'all, we going to rock out.
Sounds good, man. Sounds real good.
Peace. Yes.
Later, man.
Thank you.
Wow. That was amazing.
Oh my gosh. I've never laughed so hard. He's hilarious. He's great. I mean, this was a really fun show.
Yes,
and we always do fun shows. You guys know we always do fun shows, but this was a really fun show. This was great.
This was fantastic. I can't wait to have Josh back on here again.
Yes.
He brought a lot of light into this show and stuff. Right. Like you said, Rossi, it's always fun, but
we
had tears coming out of our eyes.
I really did. I really did. Seriously, I'm wheezing a little bit from laughter. I didn't know how much love he'd give me for Sharknado. I think he's going to go watch that. What do you think? I think he may go check it out.
I might want to, you know what? I hope he does like a reaction, like, because normally what he does is he goes on ahead, he goes on Facebook and starts talking about the movies he's seen.
Yeah.
So he might actually talk about it.
Hey, Josh, love you. Don't forget about Sharknado now. Come on now.
I'm sorry I ruined your childhood. Please come back.
Sean's breaking down. He's going to be on the couch looking at blank checks, different. Totally. He's just going to be like.
Shaking like Ben Stiller from Heartbreak Kid. And like, Sean ruined my childhood.
Rocking back and forth.
Right.
Yes.
But anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Josh. Nice. I appreciate you, dude. I promise you, next time when you come back, we'll have everything set up to where you can share this podcast with everybody. But thank you so much. It was an honor and a privilege to have you on the show. Don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe button, and all that good stuff here at Movie Love Tonight. And always until next time, if you want me to ruin your childhood, you know where to find me. So bye-bye. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Later.